Section 1. Intellectualize your fear. You know, fear is a natural emotion. It's a survival skill that keeps us alive. And that reminds me of one of my favorite jokes on the subject of fear. It goes like this. What's a redneck's famous last words? Watch this! That just illustrates the point that without fear, we'd probably all be dead. It's important to understand the origins of your fear and the responses it causes and how it affects your horse. There are two types of fear, post-traumatic fear and general anxiety. Let's take a look at post-traumatic fear first. Post-traumatic fear first came into our consciousness during the Vietnam War. It occurs after an incident or an injury. The injury can be physical or emotional. For instance, in the case of a near-miss situation, where perhaps you didn't actually sustain a physical injury, but there was an emotional injury so great because of what you thought might happen. Whether it's a physical or emotional injury, the important thing to know is you need to heal first. Don't come back to riding until you are fully healed, both physically and emotionally. The idea of getting right back on the horse that bucked you off is rather archaic, really, and it can cause much greater harm to both your body and your psyche. Even if you are not physically harmed, the chances are that after a fall, if you got back up on a horse, you'd be very tense, and that would affect your riding ability, which would in turn affect the horse's behavior and make him more tense, which may in turn lead to another incident. So it's a good idea to take a little break after you've had a fall or an incident with riding and make sure you come back to it in a relaxed and positive frame of mind. Remember that you set the time frame for when you go back to riding. No one else has the right to make that decision, and don't allow anyone to pressure you. With post-traumatic fear, there's a very high level of frustration, particularly for people that prior to the incident were riding at a certain level that they were very comfortable with and confident with. And what happens is after your incident, you feel like you've lost that ability. And so you have a deep sense of grief in addition to the fear. There's a saying in psychology that says that fear plus grief equals debilitation. It's important for you to realize that you cannot deal with both of those emotions at the same time. You need to know in your heart of heart that you still have the same knowledge that you had prior to the accident. You still have the same ability level that you had prior to the accident. They're just temporarily misplaced. Set aside the grief and deal with your fear. Once you've dealt with the fear, your knowledge and ability will come right back to you. After an accident or an injury, a fear memory is logged in your brain. I actually learned about this from research done on cattle and horses. The research shows that any time a horse, for instance, is injured, a fear memory is lodged in the amygdala of his brain. The amygdala is part of your lower brain, and it's where instinctive behavior and subconscious thought occurs. The example given in horses is, let's say I'm loading a horse in a horse trailer for the very first time, and once I get him in, he throws his head up, cuts his face open. I've got to unload him, call a vet, get stitches. He's got a big wound on his face and a big whopping headache. A fear memory was just stored in the amygdala of his brain. So now for the rest of his life, every time I lead that horse up to the trailer, that fear memory is going to surface. He's going to remember getting hurt. A fear memory will never go away, but it can be overridden with training. In other words, I can take that same horse and I can train him gently and persistently to get in the trailer in spite of his fear memory. And he'll maybe load just fine for the rest of his life. What's important for you to realize is that once a fear memory has been logged, it is always there. The same thing happens with humans. I know that from personal experience as well as my research. I've got a fear memory logged in my brain, and it has to do with getting run over by horses. By the way, any time I've ever been hurt around horses, it's from doing something really stupid, and this case was no exception. I walked into a pen full of yearling thoroughbred fillies with a bucket of grain in each hand. That was stupid thing number one. Number two, I turned my back to him and walked away from him with all four fillies lined out behind me. Well, needless to say, the most dominant filly was in the back of the pack, and she didn't like that order very much, so through a series of butt-bitings, all four fillies ended up running over the top of me. Luckily, I didn't really get hurt. I got pretty banged up and beat up in the deal. But to this day, some 25 years later, the sound of a horse moving behind me makes me instinctively jerk around and look for the horses that are about to run over me. Again, a fear memory is stored in your brain any time an injury or an incident occurs. It is a subconscious, instinctive memory that you cannot erase. But we can learn to intellectualize this fear memory and recognize it and recognize the signs and symptoms of fear and learn to control those thoughts. Unfortunately, post-traumatic fear is all too common in people that have been around horses. It's important that you understand the origins of your fear and what we can do to override them. The second type of fear is general anxiety. You create general anxiety in your mind with the what-if thoughts that occur. What if my horse bucks me off? What if he runs away with me? What if he trips and falls down and breaks my leg? Who's going to take the kids to soccer? How will I fix dinner with a broken arm? What's going to happen to my job if I get hurt? These are all examples of the what-if scenarios that can pollute your mind with general anxiety. General anxiety is compounded greatly as we age. The older we get, the more life pressures are upon us, the more inhibitions we have, and the less we're able to bounce back after an injury. Let's face it, it just takes longer to heal, and you have more at stake if you get injured. Many women will experience an increase in their fear or a lack of confidence after having a baby. It's a normal reaction of getting older. The important thing to realize about general anxiety is that you can't make the fear go away by thinking about it. Every time you allow those thoughts to creep into your mind, you're just polluting your mind with negative thoughts. The important thing is to learn to control the thoughts in your mind and to always have faith in the positive outcome. The two types of fear, again, are post-traumatic fear and general anxiety. It's important for you to understand the origins of your fear, whether you have one or the other, or a combination of both. Learn to intellectualize and objectify your fear so that you can learn to recognize it early on in the emotion and deal with it before it takes control of you. Now let's take a look at the physiological effects of fear on your body. The signs and symptoms of fear include breathlessness, heart fluttering, chest pain or chest pressure, a sensation of drowning or suffocating, dizziness or vertigo, a sense of detachment from reality, tingling sensations, heat or cold waves, fainting, trembling, or shaking, a fear of dying, or a fear of getting mad or losing control. These are all the physiological effects of fear on your body. When we become frightened, our fight or flight response is triggered, and a cycle of fear begins. One of the very first reactions in the fight or flight response is an alteration of your breathing. Breathing is something you can control. We'll talk more about that later. Another important component of the physiological effects of fear on your body is for you to realize that your mind, body, and spirit are all interconnected. If you prefer, you can think of it as the mental, physical, and emotional parts of your being. If we can learn to control one part of our being, say, for instance, your mind or your body, it will affect the other parts, for instance, your emotions. So if we can learn to recognize the physiological effects of fear in our body, and secondly, learn to control those effects, then we can learn to control the emotion of fear. Now let's take a look at the response of your horse to your emotion of fear. Horses are herd animals, and they rely on their herd mates to watch out for and alert them to danger. There's no situation in nature where horses would exist in solitary confinement. They're reliant on the herd. Their survival instinct makes them act like the horses around them. In other words, when one horse is frightened, all the other horses become frightened. You have to keep in mind when dealing with horses that he has no way of thinking of you other than another herd mate. Horses mirror your emotions. Horses, in fact, are very emotional animals, and whatever emotion you're having, your horse is having it too. If you're frightened, your horse will become frightened. If you're angry, your horse is going to get mad. If you're frustrated, you better believe your horse is frustrated too. You need to learn to control your emotions for your horse's benefit. The emotions that we want to convey most to the horse is one of calmness and confidence. Also, horses are programmed to a leader-follower relationship. We call this the pecking order in the herd. What we refer to as the pecking order in a herd is actually known as a linear hierarchy. A linear hierarchy just simply means that each and every individual horse in the herd is either dominant over or subordinate to each and every other individual of the herd. Horses have no way of thinking of us as humans. They just simply think of us as a rather strange-looking horse. And therefore, we fit into the pecking order. So in your relationship with any horse, you have two choices. You can be the dominant member in that herd of two, or you can be the subordinate member. It's important that you learn more about the dominance and subordinates of horses and understand how dominance is created so that you can establish the kind of relationship with your horse in which you are the confident leader and the horse is the willing follower. There's lots of information on my website and in my video audio library that can help you towards this goal. The leader of the herd watches out for and protects the entire herd from danger. Your horse needs you to be his leader. He needs to learn to trust you and to follow you anywhere. It's important for you to learn more about horse behavior so that you can improve your relationship with the horse and gain better control over the horse. Learn to observe the horse's communicative behavior, everything from their head position to tail position. Horses communicate with their ears, with their feet. For instance, they might paw when they're frustrated, stomp their feet when they're mad, or kick when they're angry. Horses' eyes will give a lot of information about their communication, when they're relaxed, when they're frightened. Horses will make gestures with their head and feet and tail. There's also audible communication that horses make, and all of it has a specific meaning. So learn to observe the communicative behavior of horses so that you can understand what a horse is telling you and learn to communicate with him in a way that he's able to understand. It's important also to learn the dynamics of herd hierarchy, how dominance is established in the herd, and how it is maintained. Learn to do groundwork with your horse so that you learn to control his space and establish yourself as the herd leader. Again, there's lots of information on my website about horse behavior and how a human interacts with a horse, and I also have videos and audios on the same subject. In summary, you need to learn to intellectualize your fear. Learn the origins of your fear, whether it's post-traumatic, general anxiety, or a combination of both. Learn to recognize the physical effects that fear has on your body. Finally, take steps to better understand and control your horse so that you can have a more satisfying relationship with the horse. Now that you're armed with a thorough understanding of where your fear comes from and how it affects you and your horse, both physically and emotionally, now it's time to take a look at some other areas of your life and how you can build the strength you need to tackle this fear issue. In the next section, we'll look at some life skills that will help you find freedom from fear of horses.